Better Nutrition presents Talk Healthy Today, brought to you by Europharma. Remember to visit them at europharmausa.com.
Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy, it's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Well, we try to ignore it. We try to turn our head when it's screaming at us, but joint pain eventually gets our full attention. Whether you're walking on a flat surface, climbing stairs, sitting down, getting up, exercising, or just plain moving during the day, it's overwhelming. In fact, osteoarthritis is one of the most prevalent chronic health problems in America today, affecting more than 20 million people. Dr. Holly Lucille joins me today with easy-to-implement ways to ease the agony of osteoarthritis. She'll also talk about key nutrients that can help support healthy joints to keep us on the move. My guest, Dr. Holly Lucille, is a nationally recognized and licensed naturopathic doctor, educator, and natural products consultant, as well as television and radio host. She is also the author of several books, including Creating and Maintaining Balance, A Women's Guide to Safe Natural Hormone Health, and The Healing Power of Trauma Comfrey. An acclaimed expert in the field of integrative medicine, Dr. Lucille lectures throughout the nation on a variety of natural health topics. Her appearances include natural media programs and networks such as Dr. Oz, The Doctors, Lifetime, and the Discovery Health Channel. She is currently the chair of the Natural Partners Incorporated, Educational Advisory Board, and on Vice Chair and the Institute of Natural Medicine. I want to welcome my guest today, Dr. Holly Lucille. Hello there.
Hey there.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You know, isn't it interesting that, well, interesting for me, 40 years in the field, 36 years on the air, and I remember being a kid at a family reunion, and there was that one table underneath the tree where all the older parts of the family were sitting, the great aunts, the great uncles, the grandparents, the older friends of the family, and that's where the Canes, the Walkers, and the Oy Veys were going on, none of the young folks. And I never, ever thought in my mind, going up through school and then being in this field for so long, that I would be talking about 20, 30, 40-year-olds with degenerative osteoarthritis. And I always thought it was going to be an old-age condition, but, well, surprise.
Yeah, you know, I get a little bit alarmed when I see what I see in the medical establishment is, I see it with cognitive, cognitive issues. I see a new category, like there's early onset, you know, cognitive decline. And I was like, you know what? I don't really think that's fair. Because I think just creating a new category creates a market for new medication. You know, and I see this too with osteoarthritis, just like you're saying. You know, we used to think it was sort of an old person's disease. And in my opinion, when I start seeing these more sort of degenerative things happening earlier in life, I want to understand mostly the environment of that person, you know, and so increase in oxidative stress, increase in those free radicals, what's going on, because I care little about diagnosis. I mean, we can talk about what osteoarthritis is. I care so much more about the mechanism behind the diagnosis, because if you have the mechanism behind the diagnosis, you can, and you know the person because you're getting to know them because you're treating them, then you can actually see what has contributed to this, you know, and not just say, oh, well, there's life. We all get something, you know, because identifying and treating the cause is such a big, big part of what I do. And so this is really important with osteoarthritis.
Now, one of the questions come in. There's a lot of different factors. As we could talk about 100 different health conditions today, and each one would have different factors that lead us down that unhealthy road. If you had to point your finger today at one of the precursors to osteoarthritis, would it be diet? Would it be inactivity? Would it be weight? Where do you put your big percentage?
You know, I see this. So osteoarthritis, let's just talk about what it is. It's definitely a form of a joint disease that develops when cartilage starts to deteriorate. You know, one of the things I always look for why is cartilage starting to deteriorate, especially when we're talking about younger person, but we can talk about these older folks that are having pain too. Because over time, the surface of the bones change shape, leading basically eventually to friction and joint damage, okay? So, the cartilage starts to deteriorate, and then you kind of have bone on bone, and of course, it's very, very, very painful, right? So I think, well, what causes cartilage to deteriorate? Well, there's the building blocks of cartilage in general. And I think that diet does have a lot to do with that, because there are building blocks, the glycosaminoglycans, you know, methyl donors, good fats, lubrication in our diet are extremely important. Those nutrients being absorbed, and then also I think weight has a lot to do with it too, because the more that our skeletal system has to kind of carry around over time with maybe poor mobility or poor functional fitness with somebody, then that contributes to it as well.
Where does diet play a role? I think today that a lot of us eat plenty of fat, but we don't get the good fat, the lubricating fat, the anti-inflammatory fat. I think a lot of us eat foods that are more inflammatory or pro-inflammatory in their nature, creating inflammation. And, you know, anything that has to do with ill health in the body is inflammation-driven, and joint problems, of course, are inflammation-driven.
Yep, 100%. I think you can do a lot. I mean, there's so many things. I mean, when you think about itis in general, right, itis is inflammation. Osteoarth, so that's just the joints in your bones, right? Inflammation of that. But you think about inflammation overall, there are so many aches and pains and issues in the body that can be fixed by exactly what you're saying, by looking at how pro-inflammatory the foods are. You know, we eat for an outcome. We actually really do, whether we know it or not. And that pro-inflammatory cascade can start aches and pains and contribute to all sorts of inflammation that's going to show up in the body. And if you don't actually believe this and you just go to your conventional Western reductionistic practitioner and complain of what you're experiencing, you're going to get on a medication, and then you're going to get on another medication, and you're going to get on another medication, and we're not going to be able to stimulate healing or figure it out. And that's always why I want to get to the root cause and go see somebody else, like a naturopathic doctor, that can help you think through these things when you start to eat in a much more anti-inflammatory way. With those good fats. And people, gosh, we talk about it all the time. We know eating clean is. And I think that I want to start getting into the, hey, we know so much. There is so much information out here. Why aren't people being able to line up their heart, their desire to be better, right? Their head, what they know, and their actions to do that. I kind of want to get into, like, what's going on there, folks? Because we've got more information out there now more than ever on how to be well, and certainly how to eat well. And people still are having a really hard time with that. But yes, you're right. Diet can, as far as pain and symptoms when it comes to osteoarthritis, can help so much.
Well, you know, when people decide that they're going to make a change and they're pushing back against activity and exercise because they're hurting, I get it. I mean, I understand, you know, and when they, and if they do embrace, you know, the idea of being active, when they get over that initial fighting from the body, fighting back, they notice that it does make a really good positive difference. And when they incorporate in supplements and diet and all these things together, and then exercise becomes a part of their routine, I mean, they see such dramatic differences. But I think a lot of us just feel that we have one thing on our side, and that's oral pharmaceutical pain medication or analgesics, and that's our only choice. And that's what we've been told many times as well.
Yeah, it's true. And it's not the case. And I think that's really, really important for folks to know, the listeners to know that, you know, I always say, I think there's value in all systems of medicine, right? So there's chiropractic medicine and traditional Chinese medicine. There's naturopathic medicine. I, you know, sort of dwell in and think about all the time. There's allopathic reductionistic medicine. There's a place for everything. And there's value across the board. But when it comes down to these things that we are having on the rise all the time, you know, based, you know, even despite our best knowledge and the information that's out there, cardiovascular disease, cancer, arthritis, obesity, diabetes, you know, we need to go deeper, and we need to look much more comprehensively. And that's really, I'm very, very passionate about that. And so diet, lifestyle, and then also using clinically studied botanical medicines that are effective and safe, I can't say enough about. And, you know, I just can't say enough about. And there are such great recommendations for osteoarthritis, for pain, and for healing as well.
Do you think we get sometimes so far gone that nutrition and food intervention is, we missed our cue?
Say that again?
let's say that we've been dealing with it for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and everybody knows us. We're suffering with osteoarthritis. We talk about it. We complain about it, but we don't do anything about it. You know, we're one of those, you know, everybody knows it because we made sure everybody knows that we have osteoarthritis because we complain about it all the time. And also we get to the point, do we hit a point of no return when we've gone too far and did nothing?
Yeah, absolutely not. It is never too late to have a good diet. It is never too late to make those changes because the body responds. The body is so amazing. I mean, one of the big things that I also anchor my beliefs in why I practice so passionately is because I know that we have this, our bodies have this inherent ability to heal. We always are wanting to come back into balance. And we always are wanting to heal. The body, you see that. It's like nature, right? You can see examples in nature all the time, and I can see it in people's bodies all the time, but we also have to understand what are obstacles to cure, what's in the way. And so a lot of the work that I do with my patients is actually doing that. It's kind of like, hey, okay, your body is trying, I know, to work on your behalf right now, but what's in the way? And a lot of times, as you said, inflammatory foods are in the way, inactivity is in the way. So you start losing circulation. Start losing circulation to those micronutrients, the micronutrients can't get in there, the building blocks of cartilage, and then that's in the way. That's going to be in the way. And so we just start having good clinical acumen and really, really getting both. But it's never too late. Never, ever, ever too late.
Well, you know, I have a friend that I talked to before the show, and she knew that I was going to be talking to you. And she has done the analgesic. She has done the revolving door at the pharmaceutical counter, and she's given it all up. And she is suffering. And she said she wanted me to throw this question at you. She's 45 years old. She's had osteoarthritis for about 4 or 5 years. She used to be an athlete in her 20s. She's put on weight. She's in the midst of menopause and dealing with that very well. But she said, if you had to recommend to someone in her category, a woman, 45, a little overweight, but dealing with the knee osteoarthritis, anything she can pick up at the health food store that could either ease, alleviate, or rebuild?
Okay, so great question. And I didn't know which way it was going to go. So I had one thing in mind, and then now I have another thing. Okay. So
okay.
But the one thing is included in the other thing, and so I'm gonna. So Terry Naturally has a and Euromedica has a product called Arthrosyn, and the ingredients that are in it are like, because I love combination synergistic formulas like Arthrosyn, because it just does the job on so many different levels. So first of all, my one thing that I was gonna say, by all means, because it is probably my favorite plant medicine on the earth right now, is curcumin. Mm-hmm. We all know curcumin as the extract from turmeric. So turmeric is that rhizome, you know, that's been used for thousands of years, and it's very, very healthy. Along the way, we understood that pretty poorly absorbed, and I think that's why most of the natives would use it in and build, you know, make turmeric milk out of it. We had to have an absorption agent, and so Arthrosyn actually has curcumin in it, and it's got the curcumin extracts that are actually bound with turmeric essential oils that make so absorbable. And so that medicinal compound, and I cannot say enough about curcumin as far as anti-inflammatory and analgesic for pain. It definitely has to be in any combination. And if you were only going to tell me one ingredient, curcumin, the BCM95, that bound to essential oil, turmeric essential oils, that's what I was going to say. But that is in the Arthrosyn. The other thing that's in the Arthrosyn that I think that people from an osteoarthritic perspective cannot do without is this lovely herb from India called Boswellia. It's been used, once again, just like curcumin, for thousands of years to relieve pain and inflammation. Its actions, actually, in the body are very, very similar to the drugs that are out there, these COX-2 inhibitors. But they don't have the side effects, and they get the job done. And once again, I recommend that the Boswellia has reduced beta boswellic acid, which actually can be pro-inflammatory. So you have to be careful with your picking your Boswellia, and standardized to more than 10% of the AKBA, the most anti-inflammatory compound in the extract. And so Boswellia, that particular type, is in the Arthrosyn as well.
How do you feel? This is a personal question. How do you feel about recommending like the Mediterranean style diet, where it's not about just what's in the diet, but also what's not in it, like no processed food, no junk food, no caffeine, no garbage, just healthy oils and good eating? Because this is something I recommend because it seems to be more anti-inflammatory. I'm just curious, as a colleague, what do you think of it?
100%. You know, I do tend to follow the research, and mm-hmm. because it's I mean, first of all, I have research every single day in my practice because it's called observational research. It's very, 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 I think, you know, legitimate research, because I see my patients come in. We make, you know, I always have said, most of medicine, in my opinion, is not rocket science. Seriously, because people come in, we do little tweaks to diet, lifestyle, they get better. See, not rocket science. You know, with others, with some things like the endocrine system, I say it's a little bit different. The devil's in the details. I just lost my train of thought. Oh, Mediterranean diet. Yeah, I follow the research, and there's such great research, and that's where I'm able to substantiate to my patients a recommendation, because it's not like I have, you know, Dr. Hollywood Field's way of doing things, and everybody's going to be on a Mediterranean diet. If the research is there, then I've got these clinical observations that I've been able to have throughout my years in practice, and the results are there, and it also makes sense. It is what you eat, and it's also what you don't eat. You're right.
Remember to stay up to date on each and every show by liking our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Let us know what your favorite healthy habit is, then listen in. You might just hear it mentioned on the show. For more information on understanding osteoarthritis and other health and wellness topics, check out my favorite magazine, Better Nutrition, at your local health food store. Packed with well-researched articles, recipes, and tips, it's an indispensable resource for healthy living. Make sure to pick up your copy today. Although the topic of healthy joints and support is really important, especially in today's world, I also want to make sure to remind you about the people who make this show possible. Give me 30 seconds and we'll be right back on the topic of healthy joints.
Got pain? Pain can wreck your life. Think of all the things you can do with less pain. Garden, play sports, hike, travel, and really enjoy your life. Curamin relieves pain due to overuse. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed. What are people saying about Curamin? The relief I felt was unreal. Curamin is absolutely amazing. Ask for the Terry Naturally brand Curamin at your favorite health food store today. That's Curamin, C-U-R-A-M-I-N. Curamin will change your life. Stop pain now. Does not interfere with stomach, liver, or kidney function. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA, and this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Stop pain now with Curamin.
So, Dr. Lucille, let me ask you another question. You know, if you're coming from a family that everybody has osteoarthritis, is prevention ever something you should think of?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think that we're starting to learn more and more about our genetic makeup and how it actually is affecting how our health sort of unravels as we grow older. And I think that what's really important to understand there is that I know we can't change our DNA, right? Mm-hmm. But we can change the phenotypic expression of it. We can change, the way it expresses itself. So epigenetics is sort of like the science of understanding more and more about how we are hardwired. But nutrigenomics is also what we can do from a nutritional perspective, from a supplemental perspective, to actually support and change that phenotypic expression. And so prevention is by far the cure. I have watched my parents. My mom passed away last year, and you know, I watched her in the last decade. Her health just declined. I mean, she was a young 75-year-old woman who died. And then I just traveled back to Michigan to see my father. And let me tell you something. When I look at where I've come from, I have a lot to pay attention to. I have a lot of lifestyle. I have a lot of, you know, habitual things. There's a lot for me to pay attention to. And they've given me the gift of sort of showing me that. It's pretty important.
I think something that I like to talk about a lot and is let people know that there is hope. I think sometimes we get very hopeless with the pain and we don't have the physical movement that we want to have. And I think it does play mind games with us. And sometimes we throw in the towel long before we've really even tried even a big portion of the things that are available.
You know, I always, you know, there's 100%, there's always hope. And like I said, I encourage people, you know, get a second opinion. There are so, and don't get a second opinion from another doctor that's, you know, maybe, you know, covered by insurance, just because they're covered by insurance. Get a second opinion from another system of medicine. Acupuncture is so amazing. You don't have to be a victim of what's happening, and you can partner with somebody that can help you think things through. It's one of the things that I do for the Institute of Natural Medicine is really, it's a consumer-facing sort of organization. It's a 501c3, where we're just really looking to inform the public about little bit more of a natural way to think through things when it comes to our health.
So it is an awareness. Of course, the education, you feel the same way I do. It's important. We have to continually educate ourselves, because if we don't, you know, we're going to miss the boat on many different avenues. So we have to be able to educate ourselves continually.
Absolutely. And be open. I think one of the things that, you know, I have always told students that I'm actually mentoring, or is to empty your cup. And it's one thing I try to do too, right? Where it's like, just empty your cup. Because first of all, people are so individual, and they are so, I think, biochemically individual, and their stories are so individual, their exposure to environmental insults, how they have, you know, sort of become who they are, and how they're presenting clinically is so individual. And so emptying your cup and really being able to partner and listen to those people is, I think, where the sweet spot is for folks. And so emptying your cup also when it comes to new information and continued information is so important, and to always educate ourselves, and to also, but for me, it's also to hook into those principles that I have, where, you know, the body does have this ability to heal itself, and that's, we're always looking to how can we stimulate that and facilitate more and more, instead of just suppressing something. How can we really get help, you know, get in there and make a difference?
You know, over the years, you know, you go back far enough, you know, the things that we used to recommend for arthritis way back when were so almost primitive in today's manner. And people say, well, why have things changed so much? And I said, scientific studies and the advancement and, you know, new techniques, new delivery systems. And I said, you know, what has really pushed the industry to work even harder to make products that are better is the failing health of America. You know, people would have just got really healthy 30 years ago, and none of these things would have been overly needed at this point. We wouldn't have the technology. But as the country got more and more unhealthy, these wonderful companies had to work even harder to make these products better and more available and more successful.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. And then, you know, they're also following the science of botanical medicines, of plant medicines, because it's there. You know, people say, oh, well, that's, you know, those are just, and I'm like, no. There is so much evidence, scientific evidence, and double-blind placebo-controlled studies that are going on about these ingredients that I've been talking about that are absolutely 100% amazing. And so the evidence is there, and it's safe and natural, and that's why I love it.
Take a look at what's going on out here today. You know, we have a lot of people that have become very drugstore oriented, and that's where they choose. That is their choice of medicine, and aisles of stuff for constipation and pain and, you know, digestion problems and laxatives and, you know, urinary tract and cold and flu and all that stuff. People shop today by labels and by the word, or the words, multi-symptom relief. And people, that's how they shop. Many people don't even go into the doctor. They go to the drugstore and they do their own medicine right over the counter. But they rarely think that of how they got there. They just want to deal with what's going on now.
Yeah, and I think it's so important because, like I said, our bodies are so amazing, and they'll do everything they can to take care of us despite us. They really will. And I think finally when enough is enough, then everything starts breaking down, and then that's when we get symptomatic. And so those things have usually been in play for many, many years. And so going back and reminding ourselves, I mean, a patient's history is so important to me because it starts to tell the story of, it starts to tell the story, and everything is in the story. It's in that story. It really is.
One quick question. Does this ever happen with osteoarthritis to people that are really doing all the right things? Because sometimes isn't there a little genetics at play?
I think so, yep, 100%. And knowing that is very, very important. But still, that doesn't mean, oh, well, you know, I'm kind of, that's my fate. It doesn't. You can actually look at that. There's so many ways that you can actually look at if you have, they're called single nucleotide polymorphisms, or SNPs. Certain SNPs that have been related to, all sorts of conditions. I'm seeing a woman later today who actually has a skin issue, and I know that she actually has a genetic SNP from that actually creates this barrier issue on her skin. And you know, a lot of times we go from the inside out to heal skin issues, but this is really important to know. And if you've got a genetic predisposition to something like osteoarthritis, it's still good to know, but it doesn't mean that you have to deal with it. You actually can put things on board to change your phenotypic expression of those genes and heal those genetic breaks.
You know, I think we've learned a lot today. My thanks to Dr. Holly Lucille for being with me today. Please, if you'd like to stay in touch and contact Dr. Lucille, you can go to her website, drhollylucille.com. A great book that I think you should have in your library, The Healing Power of Trauma Comfrey by Dr. Holly Lucille. Very, very, very good book with great information. It's in my library as well. Another book by Ann Pundak, which is called Eat to Ease Osteoarthritis, Five Simple Steps to Reduce Pain Naturally. Of course, don't forget to visit the Arthritis Foundation blog and the website of the week, arthritis.org. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke. And this is the Talk Healthy Today show on Radio MD, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at europharmausa.com for more information on this and all of my show segments. Remember to go to my radio show page at Radio MD and look for the on-demand podcast of the show, all at radiomd.com. I thank you all for listening. Stay well.